or right live on the internet through BBS. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. I welcome everyone that is joining in. Thank you for being here. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. As to where you can call in on a phone number with access code and be live on the call, we have a few people here, and we wait for more people to join in. A Monday night call. I don't know the topic for tonight. Today it is the 15th day of January 2018. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And we'll see what the next hour has to bring us. However, Bonnie and May, what it was about is that it was all about what the soldier who was captured had in his mind. He was completely, he knew there was no way out, and you know, he, but then the sources said that that is so important that you do see a way out, because you create your own, I'm not saying that what they were saying, but it was kind of like the bottom line. You create your own reality in your thoughts. So the law of attraction. But it was interesting. It was on last night's Whole Planet Healing Call. We do a Whole Planet Healing Call every single day at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can find the information on the website dedicated to this call, which is www.wholeplanethealing.com. Whole spelled as W-H-O-L-E.
I'll have to go back and listen to the replay, but yeah. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to open my thoughts, but apparently they're not working at the moment, but I haven't given up.
It was the movie that came out years ago, but it's called The Law of Attraction. Is it called Law of Attraction? Yeah, The Law of Attraction. And that got me thinking. I was like a non-believer. I didn't believe in anything. You know, you live, you die, that's it. But once I saw that movie about the law of attraction, I started doing research. There were some things that rang true with me, and I got curious. And then, actually, I ran into Win his website, and that got me here. So, yes,
I have to figure out how to attract oxygen in my lungs. And yeah. I believe in that. I know it's true.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are multiple, how you can say it, factors. It's not just about thinking, you know. There's a lot more to it. And also knowing that you have lived other lives and you have to resolve issues. I mean, it's not just all clear cut. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location. If you want to, you can stay in the background. We greet you and welcome you. There was one person who... one of those, whatever you call them, New Age people or whatever, who said, hey, it's very simple, three words. Thoughts become things.
Oh, yes, focusing. I agree. I used to be able to visualize very well, and then as my oxygen level went down, my visualization was harder to do. Mm-hmm. But I haven't given up.
Good.
Is the Kimberly thing next week or the week after?
I think more than 3 weeks, I think. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome, Roger. How are you doing?
Doing good. Looking forward to another session tonight.
All right. And somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here. And the next person, we welcome you. Name and location.
This is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry from Dallas. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Hi, and this is Jane from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Right.
Terry in Dallas, did you hear the big boom last Wednesday?
No. What was that all about?
I don't know. It was Coast to Coast on their website. Something about a big boom down there in Dallas.
It wasn't
big enough.
No.
I guess not.
I welcome the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Positive greetings to you, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, bro.
Thank you equally, Raiden. All right. And let's see somebody else join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Janie from Arizona.
Hi, Janie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And those that are listening in online through BBS Radio, thank you for being here. The helicopter has been up there, hanging there to get Winfrey down to the studio. He will be here shortly. And as there has not been an announcement email yet, I do not know what we will be discussing or listening to tonight.
Whatever it is, it'll probably be good.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like lately it's better and better.
Yeah, especially with the channelings on the Sunday call. I hope it's not too much for Terry, because it wasn't great yesterday, though, but like the week before, I could tell she got totally tired.
I hope it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Raj.
Hey, Raj. This is Chris in Memphis.
Two at the same time. Chris, I heard you. Welcome. And I heard a lady's voice as well. Who's that?
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. The next person that joined in, welcome. You may stay in the background. You may announce yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You left the lights on from the helicopter.
Okay.
Like the keys in there.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes, we are. Terry isn't here yet.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to do a replay today.
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I am taking a break from all this talking. And hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 15th. 2018, when in Sedona. Terry's not here yet. And I am going to play a replay tonight, I think. Hang on. Of course, my computer's not working now.
Is there a date you have that I can play it for you?
Well, I just uploaded it. It's at the bottom of the list, the most recent upload, and it's called Revisiting the Old Testament, okay? And at the time I did it, I remember I had just been studying the Anunnaki and learning about the Anunnaki. And I had read Michael Tellinger, who wrote a book called Slave Species of the Gods. And he made a very good case, which I included some of his case on this talk, and it was kind of mind-blowing. Probably most of you are, let me just see here.
All callers are unmuted.
Anyone not familiar with the Anunnaki? Okay, so this is kind of a review.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
At the time I did it, it was kind of mind-blowing. So, Hives, do you see it there?
Yes, I'm re-uploading it because re-signing in because it wasn't on the one on my console, so hang tight.
Okay.
Yesterday was a great call in the morning, and also I really liked what you read on that soldier in Afghanistan. That was a very good material.
Mm-hmm.
At night. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, Jerry's channeling was awesome yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. As long as you don't make it, how do you win?
Huh?
As long as she can handle it, because the week before I could tell she was getting very tired.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
I think she did pretty good.
Yesterday was great, I think, yes. All right. Okay, from 2013, right?
All right.
And it's 54, so I'm going to cut in a little bit, all right? That need to do less than 50 minutes.
Okay.
Here goes.
This is July 22nd, 2013, and we were just talking, you know, those of us that are on, this, I guess people on BBS are hearing it. In fact, they probably record the preamble stuff on BBS, and
try to move the fuses on me.
What happened?
Yeah, but I tried to move the...
And then
here we go.
It never gets worked out. So the key to working things out is to letting them surface. And if you have people around you that can understand this process, then let them know, you know, if you can surface stuff around them without them taking it personally, that can be good. So this is totally off track. I said we're going to go back to the Bible, the Old Testament, but really we're going back to prior to the Old Testament. And I can't tell you how fascinating this has been as I've been studying this for the past few weeks. One, just if you're listening tonight, you weren't on last week. I'll just give a quick synopsis. That is, the topic was the Old Testament revisited, but really we went back prior to the Old Testament, and there's a lot of evidence. And when I've asked questions about it to our sources, they have concurred that this is the way it was, is that, you know, we've talked about the Elohim coming into this realm, taking bodies, and when they had bodies, they got stuck here. They couldn't get back out easily, if at all, and they had a certain superiority to the indigenous beings here because they were Elohim. They may not have been talking to the Elohim. That's pretty unusual in this realm, to have the kind of rapport that we've had with the Elohim. And but they knew they had power. They knew they were advanced, and they, you know, in terms of DNA, their DNA was above the indigenous people, or the apes. There weren't indigenous people. In the episode we're talking about, and apparently this episode happened more than once, there were some Anunnaki gold miners that came and landed a spaceship in Africa to mine gold, and the Anunnaki were derivatives of the Elohim. And there were two brothers, and they decided that their bodies, Anunnaki bodies, were not that good at heavy labor, or else they were lazy, I don't know. But they decided they were going to create a hybrid between their genetics and the apes, because then they'd get a really strong being to do this manual labor. So they created hybrids, and the first run of the hybrids couldn't reproduce. They didn't want them to procreate. So they had to keep making new hybrids, and they were being gestated in the women. And the women were not that happy about having babies all the time. And so one of the brothers, and there was a conflict about this between the two brothers, one of the brothers was absolutely against allowing the hybrids to procreate, and the other one wanted them to. And so these two brothers were Enlil and Enki, and Enki is the one that wanted the hybrids to procreate. And so he did it. He kind of did it secretly, and thus was the beginning. You know, some of you have heard of the missing link. How did humans get connected with apes? They couldn't find the transition. And actually, as I was studying this, they found bodies in Africa, skeletons of what would be these hybrids, and said it was the missing link. And so now the humans were developing, and they were slaves, but they were fairly smart. I mean, the Anunnaki were smart, so they had, you know, they weren't just dumb, they were fairly sharp. And they kind of resented after a while being slaves. And the Anunnaki were trying to control them. And the Anunnaki was very advanced. They could control weather patterns. In fact, some of you have read, and I think it might be true, that there are forces that are controlling a lot of weather on our planet now. Some people say that some of the earthquakes were triggered artificially, and that the Anunnaki could do this kind of stuff. And so they would impress these humans with their powers, and they say, we're going to have a rainstorm, and it would rain. And so the humans would think they were God, or gods, and they would worship them. And this is the way the Anunnaki tried to control them. And this was how our original idea of God came about, through these Anunnaki who were actually presenting themselves that way to create fear in the humans so they would cooperate. And it worked for a while, and then the humans started running away, and they started making cities. And one country, Sumeria, which is considered the oldest city that we have records for. And there are all these tablets in Sumeria that people have been translating, that they've put together some of this information. A guy named Zachariah Sitchin is probably the most famous person who uncovered this. And as humans were developing these guys were still there and still presenting themselves as gods. And so there were these different cities in Sumeria, and they would have different of the Anunnaki would be the god of that city ruling over it. And so Enlil still was into controlling or doing away with humans, and Enki was trying to preserve them and actually make them full-blooded, aware, conscious beings who were connected to the universe. And so when we looked at the Old Testament, many of the, you know, there were a lot of different names for God in the Old Testament. At least a few. Elohim was one. Yahweh was one. What was the other one? Jehovah was one. And then, of course, when you go into Egypt, there was all the gods. And all of those gods were real, and they were these Anunnaki who were taking the role of gods and walking around. Apparently, they were walking around the cities, but they also had spaceships, and they could fly. And this was the origins of all the myths of the Old Testament. And the Enlil contingency, Enlil was the guy who wanted to do away with humans. If you start reading about it on the internet, because there's a lot on it, you'll find a lot of agreement that Sodom and Gomorrah, which was where a city disappeared in a flash, and they said, don't look back, if you recall, Sodom and Gomorrah was a nuclear weapon going off in those cities. And Yahweh, who was talking about, you know, fearing, being God-fearing, God, the whole idea of God-fearing came from that period of time. And, and sacrifice. And, you know, these guys all were, you know, creating rain and, you know, impressing people with all their powers, and it was easy to get people to be their followers, and that's how the Old Testament was developing. And then sometimes they would be fighting with each other, like in the story of Jezebel. There was one of the god forms that's called Baal, B-A-A-L, and then there was Yahweh. And they would fight for control and recognition of the people to see who was the strongest god. And this is what our Judeo-Christian background is based on. And so now this is all going on, and you have these groups of soul up there, and there's, you know, they're not really having much room to intervene, although in one instance, in a question I asked, and it was in the Creator God book, they said one of their interventions was with Solomon, and that Solomon could connect with them. And the way they described it is they could bring a light down on the people. And when I read that, I didn't understand what that meant. But since we've been doing these calls, I can feel how that works, because I think many of you are having that experience. And if you're new to the call, if you keep coming in, just keep paying attention, because there's an energy around this work that we do. And it's not from me. I show up, and, you know, I started to notice the pattern, I guess, in 2004, 2005, just the beginning of it, that I would show up and the energy would change somewhere, and there would be this tremendous energy in the room on the phone call, and I started to think, was that them? How does that, they told me it was when I asked them. It kept happening, and as many as you know, it happens on these conference calls, particularly our Sunday call. So if you've never listened to a Sunday call, we emphasize bringing that energy in. My idea from an observation is that they're in the background, pay real attention to us all the time on these calls, and they will come in a way that can expand us, that can clear energies out of our body, and help us with requests or intentions and that cause things to happen. But they are not God in the traditional sense. I would imagine from their point of view, it's rather frustrating, because when the universe was started, everything had free will. And so it was developing, and as it developed, the free will aspect of things caused certain beings to want to control others, to exploit others, to make money off of others. And people, beings in this realm, started to lose their connection that they were part of all that is. And they, as most of you know, it's very easy in this realm to feel alienated, isolated, disconnected. And the amazing thing with these calls is that energy comes in, and suddenly that feeling starts to shift, and you don't feel so separate. And even now, as we're talking, we have all of you on this call that are listening, and you're not even in a room. You can't see each other, and yet there's an ambience of a connection that starts to develop, that is developed, that has developed now amongst people that have been coming into the calls, and they feel the energy, the connection. So when they get to meet each other, this is the best way, they start to recognize who someone really is immediately, because that's what happens on these calls. Who people really are comes to surface. So there were a number of, I did a session with Terry during the week, and I asked some questions that were in my mind, because the complexity of the humans on this planet is more complex than just this one incident that happened in Africa, the Enlil Enki incident. And there are other, what they call root races, that came in from different planets. And I'm trying to remember, I'm just going to see if I can look it up on the internet. I remember Ed Casey talked about root races. In fact, Ed Casey prophesied a new fifth root race would emerge, and this new discovery, I'm not going to try to read that. But nonetheless, if there was a fifth root race, that would mean there would have been four root races, or four different times that there have been situations where extraterrestrials were here on the Earth and they did something to create, we don't know the answers, but I would certainly imagine the Chinese are a root race, the Asians are a root race, and we might, last week I kept talking and we didn't ask any questions. Tonight we might bring them in and ask some questions through Terry about this. But I suspect that China would have been a root race. Who else would have been? We would ask. I wonder where the Scandinavians came from, because they're definitely a unique breed. But we'll see. Maybe they'll tell us. You know, I don't know if they're going to tell us or not. But many of us on this line that are attracted to this work probably come from this seeding of the Anunnaki and the Old Testament, New Testament lineage of evolution that occurred. And when I asked the question about this, they said that I was there in that period, and I might have been an Anunnaki at that time. I don't know if they wouldn't tell me if I was anywhere proud of it, and I'm glad because I didn't want to know, but and that probably Daphne was there. And whatever we're doing now might have started back then. But see, even this kind of information, if I'm curious, they don't answer me. They keep reading it, reading it, and reading it. And if I can nail it, sometimes they'll tell me. They'll say, yes, that's it. But, you know, it's like sometimes it's not good to know. It's not good. Sometimes it's okay to know, and sometimes it's not good. Usually, if you have a resonance, if you read this stuff and you hear it, and you're fascinated by it, there's a good chance you had something to do with it. Usually, any part of history that you are extremely curious about, you have a passion for learning about, usually you were there. Whether it's Greece, or whether it's Egypt, or whether it's Sumeria, or whether it was Jerusalem, it was Jesus. And the interesting thing about the Sumerian epic that we're talking about, that there is a huge amount in today's email. If you're interested, if this all resonates, you want to go further. There's a university in London or in England. They've had a big project of translating these Sumerian tablets. And they've posted their translations. And to me, it's totally fascinating because there's proverbs, there's poems. These are not cavemen, okay? Usually when you think of these precursors to humans, you think of cavemen. Now, there weren't cavemen. There were Neanderthal men. That was a whole other story. This is a particular root race that stemmed from that area that we all here are very likely connected with. Not necessarily positive, but likely. That's one of the reasons we're attracted. Whether we were one of the early hybrids and whether we were one of the Anunnaki, I don't know. One of the things on the Enki line, that because Enki wanted to evolve the humans, the way the story goes is that he was encouraging sex and intimate relationships with the women. That was a way of sharing energy that would help open the DNA of the women. You know, we talked about this earlier. It is the energy that we're in. You know, on these calls, when you feel this energy coming in on the calls, that is an energy that is helping you open your chakras and open your DNA strength. It's teaching you how to do that. Not me, but the energy. And intimacy, when somebody that's more evolved has an intimate connection with somebody that's less evolved, there's an exchange of energy where it helps open the energies of the person who is less evolved. In the right circumstance. You know, this is not something to say, I'm more evolved, let's have sex. You know, there has to be care, love, service, everything. And for it to work. But the egg key, you know, in the Old Testament, one of the lines of the Old Testament was, the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. And that's what it was. This is exactly what it was talking about. So I took a couple of things here out of these Sumerian translations. I thought I'd read a couple of them. And you can see how they, if they resonate. I found it fascinating, and maybe some of you might trigger you into more study of this period. And remember, Enki was the Anunnaki who was into evolving the humans. And this is something about Enki. Pure are the cities, and you are the ones to whom they are allotted. Pure is Dilmun land. Pure is Sumar, and you are the ones to whom it is allotted. Pure is Dilmun land. Pure is Dilmun land. Virginal is Dilmun land. Virginal is Dilmun land. Pristine is Dilmun land. Now, I think they're talking about these are cities. Dilmun is a city. Pure are the cities, and you are the ones to whom they are allotted. So, if I was trying to see what that meant, it sounds like they were building cities for the humans. He laid her down all alone in Dilmun, and the place where Enki had laid down with his spouse, that place was still virginal. That place was still pristine. He laid her down all alone in Dilmun, and the place, they repeat themselves. I'm not going to repeat it. In Dilmun, the raven was not yet cawing, the partridge not cackling. The lion did not slay. The wolf was not carrying off lambs. The dog had not been taught to make kids curl up. The pig had not learned that grain was to be eaten. When a widow has spread malt on the roof, the birds did not eat the malt up there. The pigeon then did not tuck the head under its wing. No eye diseases, said there. I am the eye disease. No headaches, said there. I am the headache. No old woman belonging to it, said there. I am an old woman. No old man belonging to it, said there. I am an old man. No maiden in her unwashed state in the city. No man dredging a river, said there. It is getting dark. No herald made the rounds in his border district. No singer sang an Elulam there. Elulam, Elulam. No wailings were wailed in the city's outpost there. Nisikala said to her father, Enki, you have given a city. What does your giving avail me? You have given a city Dilmun. You have given a city. What does your city avail me? You have given a city that has no river quay. You have given a city. What does your city avail me? Sounds like she's saying, what are you giving all this stuff to all these humans for? You're not giving anything to me. I don't know if that's what she means or not. A city that has no fields, glebe, or furrow. Enki answered Sikala, when Utu steps up into heaven, fresh water shall run out of the ground for you from the standing vessels on Enzi's shore, from Nana's radiant high temple, from the mouth of the waters running underground. May the waters rise up from it into your great basins. May your city drink water aplenty from them. May Dilmun drink water aplenty from them. May your pools of salt water become pools of fresh water. May your city become an emporium on the quay for the land. May Dilmun become an emporium on the quay for the land.
May the land of Tuquis hand over to you gold from Harili, lapis lazuli, and may the land of Meluha load precious desirable cornelian wood and the best apple wood. May the land of Mahasa yield you precious stones, topazes. May the land of Vajin. Now, it sounds like he's telling his daughter all the great things about the city, and that obviously she's his daughter, so on some level, she is going to probably one day be a goddess in this city, or the god of the city. And she cried out, by the life's breath of heaven, I adjure you, whatever that means, lie down for me in the marsh. Lie down for me in the marsh. That would be joyous. Enki distributed his semen, destined for Damdaluna. He poured semen into Nirsaga's womb, and she conceived the semen in the womb, the semen of Enki. I guess that's their way of talking about sex. It's probably better than the way they do it now. But her 1 month was 1 day, and her 2 months were 2 days, and her 3 months were 3 days, and her 8 months were 8 days, and her 9 months were 9 days. In the month of womanhood, like fine oil of abundance, Nintur, mother of the country, like fine oil, gave birth to Ninisig. And Ninisig went out to the riverbank, and he was able to see up there. From the marsh, he was able to see up there. He said to his minister, is this nice youngster not to be kissed? His minister answered him, is this nice youngster not to be kissed? And my master will sail, let me navigate, he will sail. Okay, well, you're getting the idea. I mean, these guys are fairly uninhibited in the way they write, and they talk about things, and even a little poetic. I'll just read a couple of lines here. A Persian, remember, Enki was, I don't think I mentioned this, I said it last week, Enki would have been the god that spoke to Noah, that as the deluge was going on, Enki was preparing Noah, and I believe that's in these records, to take samples of DNA from animals, from plants, and of course some humans, so that if people died, that there would be DNA to continue. This is something called A Man Who Is God. A person should steadfastly proclaim the exaltedness of his God. The young man should devoutly praise the words of his God. The people living in the righteous land should unravel them like a thread. May the Balak singer assuage the spirit of his neighbor and friend. May it soothe their hearts, bring forth, utter, and measure out. Let his mouth, shaping a lament, not lament, soothe the heart of his God. For a man without God does not obtain food, okay? Now remember, they were God, okay? They were presenting themselves as God. And I don't know about you, but I can feel the energy of this being the precursor to the Old Testament. Okay, this is it. There's a young man who, let me say this, you know, they're trying to control people, and they're the gods. Here's some proverbs that they had. Say it. Who can compete with righteousness? It creates life. If wickedness exerts itself, how will Uta succeed? You should not cut the throat of that which already has its throat cut. You should not say to Ningisabda, I don't know who she is, or he, let me live. Do not make me pass through the gate. What has submitted will exhibit resistance. What has been destroyed belongs to a god. No one is able to take it away. Though I still have bread left over, I will eat your bread. Listen, dear a man, to the households of his friend. My things change things. Okay, that's enough. We'll see. 6:46. We got about 10 minutes. And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Are you unmuting yourself?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I hear you.
Yes. All right.
So, are you ready? No.
No.
Are you willing?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, you are a little bit. There's a little buzz on your line. Okay.
There. I think I let it go.
Now I don't hear it. What happened?
I disconnected the power cord and moved it away from the chair.
Okay, good. That worked. All right. Father and Mother God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be dispersed. Transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and we are pleased to be with you. This is July 22nd, 2013. Is there a problem with the mic?
No. Everything is fine. Okay. I was just going to ask, before I formulate any questions, is there anything you want to comment about this period we're talking about?
Thank you. We see that this is a formative period from which past periods have been emulated out of, have come out of. And we see that there's great interest in this period to know what was trapped, was laid down, out of which some of the problems that exist in Earth today are still manifest as the interest in this area of time was formative for a base platform on which the future came about, the races that developed came about. Not all of the races on Earth today stemmed from these areas in Sumeria. Not all of the races and all of the people. There were seedings on top of this in Africa and the mid part of Africa at various times. There were other areas of Earth which had their own separate development. It is a track which has become obscured due to earth changes due to the obscuring of history, of written history, by records being destroyed by the great changes of war that obliterated some of the history. The use of nuclear weapons, which some are not aware had been used before this period of time, but had been a weapon of choice of the Anunnaki and in the distant memory held within the earth, held within the grids. There is memory held within the rocks. There is memory of nuclear weapons being used in the Pakistan-Indian border, in the Mideast. Do you have questions?
One question is, there's something called the Alexandria Library where a lot of secret records were kept, books were kept, which was apparently held in high regard by people of the time, and then it was burned down. Did that library have the history of what we're talking about this evening?
The library had a lot of the history. It was brought there when it was realized that Atlantis was in danger. The records were brought here as it was felt that Egypt, being more centered, would not undergo so severe earth changes. And the records were set out there in scrolls, in cuneiform, in other languages, and there was a big translation project to get them all into the Sanskrit type record.
We know that there were other root races, for example, the Chinese. Were the Anunnaki involved in the other root races, or were there similar escapades from other planetary populations that came here and created, I don't know if they did hybriding or if they just did their own birthing. Is there anything to share about that?
There were outposts that were set up in the Chinese area, much like Columbus discovering America. It was the place where souls, as their planet was going under, could go and start a new life, could get a whole new look. And there was instrumentation, science that was brought with spaceships. And there was more than one group, and they worked together with the Anunnaki, much like there are different airlines that travel to different places, like China Airlines. like Swiss Airlines. And these groups worked simultaneously, although China was earlier, and they brought provisions for the people at the outpost. There was the Chinese. There were the Africans. There was an African settlement that was separate from was separate from the Anunnaki seeding in South Africa. There was then, after the Anunnaki seeding and the progression of the seeding through more of Africa, there was the Syrian connection that attempted to help and be connected and give support to the group in the mid of Africa. There was the Scandinavian group . There was the we speak slowly as we are looking at the history. There was the group in South America where the airfields were elegant and they were connected with spaceships going and coming.
You know, we're running out of time. If people email me and they're interested, maybe one Saturday we'll do a 2 or 3 hour session learning about the history of our planet and all the groups. It would be a good thing to get on record, probably, because we're accessing stuff that is probably really hard to find out. And thank you so much for being here at 6:59. BBS is about to cut us off. And thank you, everyone who's listening. And let me know if you found this topic interesting and we can explore it further. And on that note, I'm going to open the lines.
All right. When are you here? This is me live on this Monday, the 15th. And we will be leaving BBS Radio. Goodbye to everyone, and we will continue on the other phone line with Whole Planet Healing. You can find the information on www.wholeplanethealing.com.